What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from? I'm your host, Chronic, with my co-host, Shadow Strain, or Shadow. And we are back with another Tuesdays with TCK. Be sure to hit that like button, comment down below, and subscribe or follow along so you can show our sponsors of this video some and podcast some major love. And that's Atlas Seed, Viata Flower Review, TMB Naturals, and Hydro Bucket. And guess who we have on today? We have none other than Mitchell Gorgachuk from Visionary Hydroponics. So thank you so much for coming back on, Mitchell. You and I have had some fun podcasts in the past.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We've had some great topics and conversations in the past, and I'm looking forward to another good session with you guys. So
Yes,
Mitchell. And also, man, it is nice meeting you once again. Just so the fans know, this is our first interaction with each other.
What are you talking about? You guys are like 10-year solid best friends. I mean, come on.
I mean, I feel like I know the guy already.
Hey, put your hand up. We'll show him the matching tattoos. Come on.
Yeah.
mine's on my ass cheek.
to start off the show. We'll always ask the fun question. I'll go ahead and ask it. What are you guys smoking on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I broke out the crotch monster. I know it's your favorite strain for me to talk about, but I got that cheesy crotch monster up in here right now, man.
That's awesome. Nice. How about yourself, Mitchell?
The Puffco. If you guys haven't tried one of these, man, these are awesome to have, the Puffcos. Was this a Cupsy or some shit like that? But yeah, really cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, what are you smoking on, Mitchell? I'm having some Cake City. Nice. Yeah, it's about a year old.
So always love those cakes.
Really coming into it its own. It's beautiful, and yeah.
Heck yeah.
Dope, man. Yep.
Well, dope. To break us into this, I remember last time that we had chatted, for one, a lot has changed. So Chelsea and I are in the middle of trying to get our whole move and operation going. So my move is pretty much my whole grow is on pause. And last time I talked with you, your grow was on pause. But now it looks like we've completely switched. You've got this beautiful garden. You've got all these plants. And then here I am, and I'm lacking on the garden over here. So take us through. What are you running in the hydro buckets this year? What have you really enjoyed? Because I have seen you grow a lot of different vegetables this year as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've changed. I'm just moving, so I'm shutting my garden down and getting it up into a new location. But what is cool is I'm working at a licensed producer here in southern Alberta where I live. And so I have a room that I'm setting up with hydro buckets. I'm going to start getting that going this week. And that's going to be our pheno hunting room. So we're pretty excited to start popping some different genetics and doing something a little different in my home garden. In the past year, I switched out from tents into a nice big room. I got it going, and then and there goes life, right? And then it all comes down. But in the meantime, I thought. We're trying to get some reach to people. I see these people with vegetables, and they have, hundreds of thousands of followers. And I thought, I don't really give a fuck about vegetables. I got to be honest. I like growing everything, and I do like growing vegetables, but not like cannabis, right? Yeah. I mean, growing cannabis is just, I can't wait to get in there. And, if that cucumber grows, it grows. If it dies, I don't give a shit, right? It's whatever. So, we were trying to tap into those vegetable growers and IG, absolutely nerfing us. Just ridiculous that, we can't get a like for our life. And so, I was putting out that veggie content to see if we could kind of, appeal to more people. And in the end, it didn't make any difference. So we're back to the plants that we love, and we're just going to keep, just doing what we love to do, which is cannabis content. And, and then in the garden, I've been, playing with a few autoflowers. I grew, just recently what I have on right now is I grew some Thor's Hammer regulars.
Ooh, okay.
And, I found a really nice female, a nice male. And then I pollinated the male just to have more seeds, right? Just to have, do it once, have seeds for the rest of your life. But also I had this really nice photo that is like, it was a winter sunset belief. hunted cut that was fairly expensive. I got it online. And I never had a chance to flower it out, and it's supposed to be an amazing washer. But I thought, you know what? Why don't we hit it with some Thor's Hammer male pollen from a nice stud, and let's see if we can't. I've never tried to work something into an auto, so that's kind of what I've been doing at my home scale right now.
Fun. That's always fun, working in lines with autos and starting to test that, especially with regular lines or regular autos, or even if you're gonna like pollinate a full-blown auto, it gets real fun for the you know, F2 generations and stuff. Well, that's exciting. Jason, any questions?
Yeah, so when you pollinate into an auto from a photo, how many generations is that? I'm completely ignorant to this.
Well, that becomes a first generation. So
that first one's not going to be an auto, correct?
It will be a partial. It'll be like a 1/16. Like, no, it won't even be a fast version. It'll be be prone to hermaphroditism, essentially.
Okay.
So how that works is essentially the ruderalis gene that makes the plant want to go fully autoflower, or want, like, basically not respond to light cycles. It's the stressor or the stress indication within the root system. So until you stabilize that to a certain point, which fast versions are essentially the bare minimal of stabilization that you would want, and then you have your autoflowers that would be your ideal stabilization for autos. Okay. So
so that's like what, four generations in?
I'd say five for fast gens are about fifth generation in. Your honed autos are about 10.
Okay, man. See, and that's the beauty of autos, is the amount of work and craftsmanship that's going into them.
Yeah, Canada's been at autos for a good minute, I would say.
Yeah, nice. That is awesome.
No, this is good. You know, every time I've been inspired to do some breeding or whatever, you know, I ordered some books, ordered a couple of books. I read them. I immediately put them away, and I'm like, I'm just going to grow other people's stuff, because this is like for real work. You don't just, you don't just slap a couple of males and females together and have something that's worth, you know, putting out there. Shout out to the breeders, because they put the work in to have something that's actually worth buying and actually worth growing, right?
Yeah, I mean that's a lot of time spent.
I'm on 4 years for just the second generation of my glue of the gods. So yeah, it takes some commitment.
That's a section of your life that you're putting a legacy to that seed. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's that seed that my line, just in and of itself, people have already put 5 years of, you know, into the mother, you know, the mother parent plants that I did. Each were 5 year roughly breeder projects that were then released. So a collaborative of about like 10 years going on just for, you know, a second generation potential. And imagine like a 10th generation, you know, that's where generations will move faster when you have a facility to sit there and pheno hunt and just dump pollen and bat cross and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when you work solo, or you work kind of like how I work, and I don't know what your setup's going to be like, Mitchell, but it sounds like what I was doing, where you're only going to be playing with like one male at a time, potentially with just some females in the room, where you're not like, you don't have like 10 different male rooms.
Yeah. How many genetics are you going to be pheno hunting through?
For myself, you know, when, once we get, at the facility, we're going to be doing some multi-cannabinoid stuff. Like this side project with the autos, you know, you're 100% right. If you have rooms and rooms, you know, and you have the room to, you know, pop 100 seeds and just work through it, that's definitely going to help from my understanding. But as a home grower, I mean, it's too much. But for the phenotyping, yeah, I mean, we're going to look – we want to deliver – different cannabinoids, right? We want something. We see people, we have a one-to-one that we sell on the market and people love it. It's a one-to-one 10% THC, 10% CBD, and they love it. It flies off the shelf, right? It's great for new users. And it's good for everyone. You know, you just have to try it and then you would agree. But I have some other seeds that, you know, I got from Seattle Chronic, and you know, they have some four-way, some CBD, CBG, THC, and THCV. And this is a pack that I want to get into and see where it goes, see if we can't get something out of there that's, you know, a standout.
Yeah, that CBG is very popular, and it will be nice because I will say, like, anytime I see edibles or even with, like, concentrates that have the extra CBD or CBC or CBG, I think I see CBN coming around a lot nowadays, too. That one's getting a little more popular. But, yeah, no, you're 100% on. I just will be, I think, on the 20th or 27th of this month. I have it on my calendar. I'll be actually chit-chatting with Jason and I will be chit-chatting with some people who sent in some CBD. I tested out. And it seems like full-spectrum CBD or 1-to-1 ratios are becoming way or more and more popular. Even like the 1-to-5 ratios or 5-to-1s, however you want to say it, where it's higher THC or higher CBD to the other one, they're really popular. And personally, I am in very much agreement. I really like 1-to-1s. You know, 10% might not sound like it's that potent, but when you add 10% CBD to 10% THC, it smacks like a brick shit house. So people very much underestimate how potent CBD can really be.
Well, that's the exciting part of the breeding that I'm excited to see 10 years from now. Because what would you say, for the last 15 years, people have focused on THC as the main cannabinoid to focus in on enhancing in your flower. And all of those lost terpenes have just kind of degraded down to very minute amounts in all the flower. You know, and also like the smells, the skunk smells and all those. So yeah. I'm excited to see 10 years from now where people bring flower to and what terpenes are actually enhanced and at maximum levels.
Yeah, I think one of our first podcasts, Mitchell and I actually talked about terpenes. So I was actually, my next question for you, Mitchell, is has your terpene profile changed personally? Or are you still kind of seeking the same ones that you were seeking about a year ago?
You know, I'm just open. I don't choose favorites in life. The path is easy for those without preferences, right? So I'm not looking for anything specific. I'm looking for those things that light me up in a certain way, right? Yes. But also with you know, working for an LP, I tend to get lost in what I like too much, and you know, don't realize the customer wants what they want. And this is the same thing, you know, with the THC. We all know it. You know, what Chad have said, we know this, but at the end of the day, people want 34% THC, right? So there's a few ways, you know, we're going to play around with that, not only just from different flowers to get those different terps in those lower percentages of THC, but when we look at some of the nice machines that you can use to do infused pre-rolls these days, you know, we're looking at doing something like, you know, get those really nice flowers that you know it's not going to sell. We know this because no one's going to buy it at a 15 or an 18%. But then we can enhance it with whatever, you know, we want hash rosin, you know, whatever is going to wash or whatever you want to get that THC level up. So you're producing a product that's 35% THC, but you could also have whatever else you want in there, right? So super excited to be looking at stuff like this for getting into the market.
Yeah, that's super rad. I always like anytime you load up a joint with some extra little goodies on there, it's a nice little blast. Definitely workarounds to get incentivization on some of those products that aren't selling too. Also, that would help the problem of overstock or people holding on to too much cannabis and then that cannabis essentially becoming dull or cannabinoid, the cannabinoids degrading over time because it's stored improperly and things like that. Which, let's kind of break down. What are you rocking out in your garden? Obviously, for those watching and listening, Mitchell Gorgachuk started an amazing company with his partner called Visionary Hydroponics. They created a few different products right now that you guys can go check out and get. And I highly advise using. They're pretty much the only. They are the only hydroponic equipment that I will grow out of. They have these hydro buckets that have side reservoirs to be able to access, so you don't have to lift your plants off them. It makes doing pH changes, checks, adjustments, feeds, and all that super, super easy. And then when I first had chatted with them, that was their only product, and they were working on some other ones. But now they've got a goodie list of products like the Hydro Lids and the inserts, and they even made the Hydro Lids capable of doing these PVC frames, which I kind of want to talk about. What are you rocking out in your garden? How do you have your garden set up? Are you using a trellis system, or are you kind of doing your own trellis cages?
Yeah. Thanks for the the shout out to all the awesome gear. I would agree. I really think it's awesome. So in my garden right now, like I said, I'm kind of in between. What I was using is, we have a Foresight lid also right now, right?
And that's right.
It's just a manufactured Foresight lid instead of something that we're or it's a modified lid to fit four hydropods. Instead of one single, what we're looking for in the future is to actually make a Foresight lid that will function much better. I've been playing with the Foresight lid. It's really nice to mature four plants using a lot less resources, right? Mm-hmm. So you can take your four small hydropods and you can put them in that Foresight lid, and you can mature those four seedlings in 3 gallons of water. Right. And we're just basically waiting until we get some roots emerging from the bottom and getting that seedling growing up to where it's, starting to look like a cannabis plant. And then at that point, we can take each one, a hydropod in each seedling, and then put it into its own hydro bucket with, 3 gallons of water each. So, it's a nice savings of time and resources to do that. But what I also found was playing with the autoflowers to decide which ones I wanted to, to find a stud male and to find a female that I wanted to pollinate across. I put, I popped 8 Thors regulars in the hydropods, and I matured 8 plants together. And what I found was I just let I found one female and one male out of the 8, each in different hydro buckets. And then I just simply kept the other ones trimmed, just so they weren't producing their sex parts, especially the males, just keeping them low. I didn't want to kill them because I didn't want the roots to die off inside and create a dead root mass with my healthy root mass. So I just kept them low. And I really enjoyed using the Foresight lids for this new kind of way to hunt, just for seed creation when you have those auto regs and you want to create a bunch and you don't want to have 8 buckets with 3.5 gallons just to sex them and decide, well, I don't want this anymore. It's really simple to just do it in 2 hydro buckets.
That's smart.
Well, I love that too, because for cloning, for my sake, I could stick a male in the center of a room and have a bunch of hydro buckets and have, now instead of just, if I have 5 hydro buckets with 1 lid, I can have 5 hydro buckets that carry, 20 plants. So that's definitely a big option. And I do solo cups that I literally, they go to solo cups, they get rooted for a week. I switch them. They get swapped to flower, and then my solo cups just basically grow straight up, and that's what I'll seed out, because it's fast return on seeds and it's quick return. And with doing like single to 2 to 3 cola plants, I make sure that the pollen actually gets the entire plant, so it's actually really nicely matured seeds. So having something like that with four lids is amazing. And if you guys are understanding what he's talking about, the inserts, they're these nifty little inserts that, so they made these custom lids that have these kind of like, it like slopes down, and they have these locking almost inserts, and these inserts are these extended like little pieces that, how far down do they go? What's the actual inch distance? Are they like 4 inches or something?
Oh, I think they're about 3.5 inches, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
They're about that deep.
Yeah. They hang down. They're real nice. And you put rock wool or, I pretty much just put rock wool. you put your rock wool cubes or whatever you're using, or you get if you're using clones, you can get a disc, one of the foam discs, the neoprene collars, and you can stick your clone in. And basically the area beneath, it will either hold your rock wool so that the rock wool can actually hit the tip of the water and it actually holds the root mass. There it is.
That's perfect. I'm sitting here all stoned looking at this thing on the table watching you talk.
I love it.
So this is it. Exactly. Yes. This is it, right? Yeah. So the clone just goes in the collar, and then we grow medialess, right? So in a facility, once we find our winner, we're going to be able to just take clones to a 4-site lid, mature them quickly, and then boom, transfer them up. Works really, really well. When we're talking about using the media, you just pack either some rock wool in here, or we've been using this stuff from iHort. They're called Q plugs. And they're amazing as well. I find them to work even better than rock wool, just because they have that moisture retention that's just perfect. It gives the growers, I find the hardest part about hydro is starting your seeds, right? Especially for new growers, because there's all these little facets of how you can screw it up. But with soil growers, you know, and when you use plugs, you just put it in there, done. And that's how I've been treating these Q plugs, is I soak them in pH water, I take them out, and then I just take my seeds that I've soaked for, you know, a few hours, and I just put them right in there. I don't do any paper towel method, I don't do anything. Sometimes I put 2 or 3 seeds and just pick the one that grows, and boom, they just take off. So
that's awesome, and that's problem solved. And the nice thing that if you once you do have those clones available now, you know, with having the access to not have to use substrate, you're saving a lot of money on the different media cost, as well as like now it's on the environment in and of itself. You're leaving a little more green of a footprint because you're not leaving so much waste behind.
Now, do you have like a humidity dome that links on or over top of the system?
I don't. I've been playing around with humidity domes or like high humidity and regular humidity, and I like to kind of stress everything, right, and just see what I can get away with. And I find that I was growing in my room that already had nice humidity, so I didn't have to bother. Yeah. Right. If it was, if you're doing it in somewhere that you don't have that humidity,
Colorado.
It's above 65%, right? You better have a dome, I'm sure. But this was in my grow room. So, I always keep the humidity at a nice.
I mean, I assume, like I said, once again, I'm ignorant because I'm not growing hydro. But I assume having enough hydro buckets in your room, you're getting it, ambient humidity levels raised just from that off-gassing and evaporation from the water in the buckets.
That, and also one big thing with hydro, once your plants are matured and the roots are touching water, there's never a time that your plants are technically thirsty or seeking humidity because they're fully engulfed in water. If anything, if you actually have a super dialed-in system in hydro, what you'll actually see is the plants transpire and actually sweat out and breathe out water molecules, which will actually increase the humidity of the room as well. So that's kind of neato. The only time that humidity is like absolutely key with hydro, I think Mitch will agree, is when you are getting your blocks prepped or you're doing any of the initial seedling stage, trying to get your seedlings going, you don't want your blocks, your cubes, any of the media you're using to dry out for a single bit. You need it to stay fairly wet.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's especially with rock wool, right? Rock wool is just really unforgiving compared to the Q plugs, which are much much more forgiving, right? A couple of things there. You do have a lot of higher humidity with hydro, just because it is not a perfectly sealed bucket. Right. Yeah. So you do have aeration happening nonstop, and that is filling it and just producing more and more humidity. So I typically run a humidifier just for a little while, and then it's dehum city. I mean, that thing just runs and runs and runs. Right. And and I always go for VPD. Right. I shoot for VPD. Yeah. And that is always my greatest path to success when it comes to harvests.
And I was going to actually ask that next, is if the VPD is going to be a little bit different in hydro than it would be in soil, or am I still shooting this for the same thing? These are going to be questions from a novice grower so that everybody can kind of be on the same playing ground here.
I think VPD determines on a lot of factors. So it would be like, what are you trying to do in your grow room? Do you need a negative pressure versus a positive pressure? Are you trying to have an even pressurized environment where you're pulling in the exact amount of air that you are exhausting? You know, most growers are going to want a positive pressure environment unless they're working with pollen. Pollen's pretty much pollen, and I would say if you have a severely humid environment, are the only times you'll really see negative pressurized environments.
Let me ask you a positive. The walls pushing out on your tent? Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. So I'm over here running walls pulled in.
That's negative. So that means you're exhausting more air than you're intaking, which is good. So there's a science to a lot of this. Like for Mitchell being in a facility, if he were to ask someone to come in, like let's say he asked me to go in and be like, hey, Derek, what do you think this is your what would you do if you were going in here? And I was like, okay, well, let's go look at the outside of your facility. What kind of bugs do you have? Trees, these things. Positive pressure environments can promote pests a little more rapidly than a negative pressurized environment, because what's happening is the pests that can fly and have stronger wings can handle the wind flow and they're not being forced out. So when you have a negative pressurized environment, you actually do have some IPM management. Now with a high pressurized, positive pressurized environment, you'll have an immense airflow, but at that point, to the point where you're doing some IPM work with the air, you could be potentially damaging your plants. So there's like a fine balance for everything. And then on top of it, you know, if you have a negative pressurized environment and you're in a very dry area like me, now you're running into the problem that if I put a humidifier into my environment, the humidity is just getting sucked out instantaneously. You know, there's no chance for that air to push that humidity around. So like in a vegging tent, you would want a positive pressure, or in a vegging room, you would want a positive pressure so that there's airflow literally whipping through the canopy so that you don't end up with stagnant spots.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, and see, I'm in such a humid area that I got to get that humidity out of my tent on a constant basis.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, it's 70% humidity here all the time.
You know, that's the thing. East Coast to West Coast, we all have different environments. Some of us grow in tents in small operations in our homes, and then there's the facility grows, right, and everything in between. And, you know, it really depends on, you know, one of the big things that I find with VPD as a home grower, I'm just trying to keep it in range. You know how it's like green, yellow, red. I'm like somewhere in there, and I'm usually limited by one of the factors, right? Like usually, yep. I don't have all the utilities that can just dial it into where I want. I can't just go beep 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 like a facility. And boom,
come on, you don't have the $500,000, Mitchell.
Oh, dude, bro, exactly, right? So as a home grower, I'm like, I can only exhaust nonstop, and I can only get my temperature this much in the summer or the winter, right? It's always changing. Yeah. It's like a soundboard for a DJ. So I'm like, okay, so this is the factor that I can't change is the temperature. So I'm just going to adjust my humidity to match that to hit a VPD range that I'm looking for, right?
Yeah. And then, your pocketbook, you know, how much money are those utilities costing?
Of course. That's exactly it, right? Is keeping that in line. And then the other thing is, being a home grower, for many people growing at home, they don't want their house and their life to smell like cannabis, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of people that like to grow privately, and it's not that easy in a tent to dial in your VPD and manage different pressures. You just got that thing sucking, right? Constantly. Because if it was any kind of positive pressure, then your whole house smells like cannabis. Right? So you have to be under
that
negative pressure constantly. That fan turns off at all, it starts leaking out, the furnace kicks on, your whole house smells like cannabis. So the struggle's real for home growers. But no one should be afraid, because there's some pretty amazing stuff that comes out of home growers.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm in the drying stage right now, and I came home from work the other day, and I got out of my car and out front on the street, and I was like, what the fuck am I smelling? I'm lighting up the whole block. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I'll never forget. This is like years back. I had this White Widow, this feminized White Widow, and her name, I named her Charlotte. And she was, I flipped her in my closet, and I flipped her at about 3 feet. Okay, and I had 6 feet of gross space. So I was like, mind you, I was using a light that pretty much the plant could touch the light. It wouldn't burn it, that type of thing. So I was like, okay, fuck yeah, this plant's not getting over 6 feet. This thing got like 6'5", 7 foot in my closet and was just reeking. I mean, reeking. So I ended up having to move across the country before it even came down. I tried to put it in my car and save it and everything, but I literally got to my homie's house and I was outside at the front of his house and I was like 30, 40 yards away from my car and I could just smell it. And I was like, nah, if I get pulled over, I'm fucked. So I ended up throwing it in a dumpster, but you could just smell this thing down the road. It just smelled like a skunk. It was the funniest thing ever.
I think it's a good rule to only let your plants grow about a third of the height before you flip it.
Yeah, that was a very early novice, you know, I could do this, I've got time, you know, and that was way before, and that was before I even knew anything about vapor pressure differentials or any of that stuff, because I'll tell you what, I was doing everything wrong, which it is funny that you mentioned smell with VBD. That is the, I'll tell you what, whenever I have someone ask me about smell, I will always ask them if they are a positive or negative pressure environment. And almost always, if I get them to go to a negative pressure environment, their smell issues go away if they have a carbon filter on, because that, that air is just getting, you know, scrubbed clean every so – I think it's – you're supposed to have a fan that can scrub your tent clean twice within, I think, is like a minute or whatever it is. It's supposed to be
They have a ratio for that. Yeah. I did learn, though, that the slower that the air moves past that carbon, the more scrubbing ability that carbon filter has.
I'm just hyped on the new carbon filters from AC Infinity with those the refillable carbon. I can't wait to get me one of them.
Yeah, me too. My next setup, I'm getting those for the tents, because that's a money savings and just the world. Saving the planet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, you know, we want to use less, right? You know, cannabis growing is really intense, and especially coming out of the black market, you know, into legalization, everyone's just been doing whatever. It didn't matter, and a lot of those practices just got adapted straight over. So there's lots of room to improve products, but also practices, so we use less.
And try to reuse as much as you can. You know, I'm on the third run of my soil right now.
And that's, you know, and this is another great thing. I can't remember which podcast it was. It might have been the one before we talked about circadian rhythm. But I remember you and I talked about how you usually like to utilize some of your water from your reservoirs in outdoor gardens, whether it be like rose bushes and things like that. Are you still kind of making use of some of your runoff water for anything outside or anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was living on my acreage, and that was the, you know, the bulk of the growing that I've done for the last 7 years, you know, that would pump out and that would go right to this nice line of trees as how I had it plumbed. And when it was in the house, I was using it for houseplants and stuff. So yeah, there's no reason to dump it unless you want to. But there's always use for it. So.
Well, that's exciting. I think this is a pretty good spot to leave off. I try to keep all of our interviews from about 30 to 45 minutes. I have about two questions left for you. And then before I have you blab about all your guys' stuff and where to find you, I'm very excited that you have this new pheno hunting facility, because I will definitely have to get some glue of the gods over to you and let you just have some fun with what I've created. Let you finally try out the strain that I've been taking pictures of.
Awesome. You know, I know you did all that work, and we were in touch about some of the breeding and projects that you're doing, and you know, I would be super excited to you know, see what you've been up to.
Yes, so. I think we'll get some fun strains into your hand, and I think you and I will be doing a lot more talking. But my last two final questions are always going to be fun ones. First off, what is one of the goofiest mistakes you've had in this last year in your garden?
Oh, the goofiest mistakes in the garden. Oh man, I have quite a few often. So, man, what was it?
Have you flooded your space anytime recently?
I haven't had a good flood. No. The great flood of 2022 has come and gone, and I haven't done that. What have I done? That's a good question. I mean, I haven't done anything too silly in the garden this past little while. So,
no breaking branches or anything like that. We're all in the clear lately.
Yeah. I not supporting some plants well enough, I usually am a scrub grower. I like to put it in the tent. I like to top and have, grow photos and, bring up that canopy, and it's just all, all quads right across the whole thing. And then it's all supported. But when I grow and I'm just growing single plants and autos and stuff, yeah, it can tend to, I don't support it well enough. And next thing I've come over and one of my mothers was on its side. It fell right out completely. So, oops.
It's fun to watch that stuff sometimes, though. You know what I mean? Just to see what the plants can do and how much they can actually hold up on their own.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. It's interesting to to see it on its side and dry it out and pick it up and see if it can bounce back.
Your heart's just like, ah, no, not the mother. well, there's one last and final question that I have for you. So if you could give us a taste or a snippet of an idea for your ideal pheno that you may be trying to go after, what is in your mind something you're trying to hit? Maybe it's flavor, maybe it's smell, maybe it's shape or color or effect. What is kind of that one key that you're honed in on? For me, it was all pain management. I wanted the strain to actually knock out my pain, because I have a very high day-to-day pain compared to a lot of other people. So if it knocks out my pain, I know that it'll help a lot of other people's pain management. So what's kind of like the thing that you're going for? Is it sleep? Is it hunger? What is it?
For myself, it's just function is really what I like my cannabis for. I don't like sativas. They make me too racy. Certain sativas, right? Yes. I like a good indica at the end of the day if it is, fairly sleepy. But I really like a hybrid or an indica-leaning, dominant hybrid. Something that is just perfect for me, that I can smoke. It calms me down. It slows me down. Allows me to focus a little more and still keep that energy going without getting all racy, right? So that's the effect that I go for. And number two is all about bud structure. I want bud structure that's nugget on top of nugget and nugget. I mean, that just changes the game. It changes your cost per gram when you're in a facility it's preservation of each bud from the time it gets trimmed and it goes in the bag, right? When you got that bud structure, that's not just one big, the donkey dick that everybody likes to see, especially new growers. It's just snip, 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 done. I mean, there's nothing to trim. There's nothing to do. It's all preserved in the bag, ready to go. So that's a really big key for me.
That's something I'm, as a new grower, learning, that having a bunch of stuff to fucking trim that's small is a pain in the goddamn ass. So trying to manage that. My last couple grows, I've just let them guys go wild and see what they look like for fun. But before that, learning that, yeah, like you said, just having nice tops to manage and not have to worry about all that lower stuff, that is convenience, and you're getting everything just dialed in that way.
You want to know, one way that I really got honed in structure for, the spacing? So I had a mother originally that was super spacey, like real coastal, real sativa, and then I had two fathers back-to-back that were super stunty. And I noticed that it was much quicker for me to put my father's pollen into it that were stuntier than when I have plants that the mom is stuntier with the coastal father, because the offspring keeps wanting to do the coastal father stuff. Mm-hmm. Not that it's going to be that way with genetics every time, but I did notice that when I had two generations of males putting pollen or DNA into it that was shorter or closer together, it definitely made a big difference for sure.
Awesome. So before we jump out of here, man, I have a question for you about your product itself. Coming from a novice grower, someone who's just getting into hydroponics, what would you tell someone starting with your buckets? What would be the easiest routine you would recommend?
He loves telling this one. We do it every episode.
You got to be careful what you ask me because I can go on for hours.
That's why I pulled that question.
No. This is the thing I want everybody to know when it comes to growers, just to keep it really simple, is that we're putting out a webinar. We're putting out information on our website so people can approach deep water culture hydroponics like baking a cake or like maintaining a hot tub or a pool. It's that simple. If you follow the instructions and you add this, keep this variable here, the plant has absolutely no choice except for to express to its maximum. And that's going to depend on your grow environment, your external environment, right? Your VPD, humidity, temperature, all that stuff, light intensity, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to the actual plant, we can treat that thing just like doing a hot tub, right? We mix it up at the beginning of the week. We check it each day. If the pH goes up, we bring it down. If something goes out of whack, we bring it down. We add the right bottles of what we need to make sure we don't have root rot, we can grow at higher temperatures, all these things. It's super simple. You just follow the recipe and you're going to have success.
And I see...
Very like an aquarium. I mean...
No, you're okay.
It's very like aquariums. I did aquariums. I did planted aquariums for a long time.
Yep.
And that part excites me about getting into some of my first grows with DWC. What would you say is more important to focus on if somebody doesn't have the fancy equipment like Derek has and they're getting a cheap EC or TDS meter off of Amazon? What would you recommend somebody do with that? TDS, EC, what should we have focusing on? Obviously, pH is something you're going to want to have dialed in correctly.
I think is the new PPM, correct? Forgive me, that's just the new dialed in PPM, right?
I mean, you know, it's preference. A lot of home growers like PP, parts per million. Other people like EC. Same thing, just different scale, right?
Okay.
And for home growers, really to focus on to have their best success, you want an MPK product, right? That is fully dissolvable. You want an enzyme product that's going to eat any kind of roots, like Hygrozyme is a product. It's going to eat any kind of dead roots.
I had my Hygrozyme shirt on earlier.
I mean, they're awesome. They're going to eat any dead roots and make sure that any kind of little bit of roots that do die off are going to, they're not going to turn into root rot, right? So it keeps that and it creates food for the plant as well.
And they also have the High Clean and High Shield that you can add to that will aid
products,
in that as well.
Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, I like Pool Shock. I think having a little bit of Pool Shock where it's like super cheap. I could talk about this for a very long time, but, you know, essentially.
Oh, I'm getting intrigued already.
Pool Shock is essentially, you know, our water comes out of our tap at a millivolts of about 400 to 600.
Yep.
Okay. That makes it sanitized so nothing can grow. So when we make our solution weak, you know, about 350 to 400 millivolts, nothing can grow. Algae can't grow. Root rot can't grow. Things can't grow because it is sanitized. It's
and
not
chlorine.
Sterile. It's sanitized. Exactly. So we can, again, just like a hot tub, we can just make sure we have the right ORP values in our solution. I think that's about it. I mean, that if you use a little bit of Pool Shock, you use a good MPK, and you use something to keep those root matter at bay, you're going to rock it.
If you don't have Pool Shock accessible because you like maybe you live in like a random ass urban area, a rural area that has like no fucking pool places around, you can use dechlorinator from like an aquarium.
That's what I was about to ask. So coming from an aquarium background, relating Pool Shock to aquarium products, what would that be?
Dechlorinator. Literally like beta fish. Mind you, Pool Shock is going to destroy on the parts per million, chlorine at a faster, more consistent rate. But if you get the beta fish dechlorinator, that shit does scrub chlorine out of water pretty good. It does. Because, I mean, fish are mad sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff that I use is it's called Pool Shock. It's like 85%. Essentially, I've visited a facility and they said it's very similar to hypochlorous acid, right?
Okay.
In the same way, it's just a sanitizing agent. So it doesn't matter what you want to choose for a sanitizing agent. I just present Pool Shock out there because you can buy a little bag of it and then you can use a tablespoon of that powder into 2 liters of water into a jug and you shake it up once a day and then you use, 5 milliliters every couple of days. Boom, you're sanitized. Like, it's just super cheap and easy to work with.
That's awesome. I like knowing things like that too because it doesn't have – okay, so me and Derek are both tattoo artists, right? So – in the tattoo world, if you put the word tattoo on any product, it triples its price, right? So if you buy a $2 lotion, you can sell it for $6 by saying tattoo lotion.
It's a tattoo bomb. It's $57 in your left nutsack.
Yeah, simply. So I like knowing that they're like that kind of thing right there where there's products that you can utilize in your grow that don't say grow and costs triple the price.
So, it's calcium hypochlorite is actually what it is. It's really interesting. I'm going to just throw this one out here. Calcium in different forms does a lot for growing. Calcium acetate and benzetate are two different forms that you can make at home. Calcium benzetate, I believe, is the inactive form. Calcium acetate is the active form. And vice versa. Don't quote me on that. But you can make feedable calcium from eggshells. But yeah, this is literally just essentially a small form of bleach. So yeah, it's not gonna mess your stuff up. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned this, and just so we can go over this. In the past, your website used to be different, but now I see that you actually have the hydrobucket.com, and that's super rad, and I love it. And for everyone wondering, it used to be, what was it? Visionaryhydro.com.
And it still is, but yeah, we were able to have hydrobucket.com and Visionary Hydro. It funnels to the same place. Nice. So
sick.
Yeah.
And, for those listening, I highly suggest going on there. When I first contacted them, they didn't have as much of the cool stuff that I'm actually looking at. That's what I've been doing. Was looking at your guys' website. I see that you guys have little kits now, the Hydro Kit, Professional, Advanced, and Starter. I think they're great. You have really quality reviews already, and I will be more than happy to attest to these reviews. The buckets are worth every bit of money, and I know you and your partner probably source the airstones and all this stuff pretty well because it's probably something that you're going to use in your garden as well. But one thing that I wanted to make sure that I talked about your website was because you guys said that you did have resources online, and in fact you do. There's the Hydro Bucket Guide that under resources that is literally Garden Talk, there's the different episodes that we've had, and all sorts of stuff, different episodes where you went on the Royal Queen Seeds podcast, and you went with the Smoking with Mitchell, that one, and then you have the Autoflower Show podcast. So there's lots of different things out there. And then you said on your YouTube, you guys are actually doing full-on guides on how to basically set up for hydroponics and be successful, correct?
Working on it, yeah. One of the things we're gonna do is a webinar, right?
And that's right.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna do an email link out there to our customers and to get new people out there that are interested. And basically, it's getting to basics for people for deep water culture hydroponics. Like I said, if you can follow rules, you're gonna have success. So through the webinar, I go through the very basics. What do we need? What is this? What is this? What do you do with it? Right? And we're going to do basics, and then we're going to go into more advanced stuff. And this is something that people are going to be able to attend, have a look at, and then we're going to give them a deal to head over and, pick up, get a little more savings on a package or something.
That's super rad. I love the idea. I love the principle. For everyone wondering, you can either look up Visionary Hydroponics or you can just straight up look up the Hydro Bucket on everything, okay? They have all their Instagram stuff. They have all the social media stuff. You can look up dozens of episodes. Not dozens, probably. I shouldn't say dozens. That's a lot. You can look up probably about 6 episodes between the Autoflower Show podcast and my old shows, which I don't say the names, but you can look out the old shows and stuff like that. They're great episodes. Mitchell really goes in depth with, actually, Jason, your last question that you had asked him, we have a whole podcast episode where he actually talks about his literal start to finish of his weekly basis, when he does water changes, how he adds things, what he's feeding, and we have two of those full episodes. I think they're about 6 to 8 months apart, and we talk about the different foods or things that we added. I think one of the biggest things that's been consistent for those wondering, High Grozyme, High Clean, and High Shield are probably three staple products I know that I found from Mitchell that I keep in my garden definitely, and I use them very frequently. Specifically the High Grozyme. That is like the big one that you talk to me about. So Mitchell, you already know you're used to this, so this is coming your way. You have one last thing to do, and that is to leave a tip of life advice or something like that for the audience.
Lesson life advice, you know, at any time, you know, one of the best things you can do is just quiet your mind and open your heart. If you can do this, if it's the end of the world, or, you know, it's just the end of your day, you know, this is something that I've been practicing, and, you know, quiet the mind, open up that compassion and that love towards the anything, the universe. You know, you're gonna resonate a different frequency for yourself and everybody around you, and you're gonna see some really positive results in your life.
I love that,
man. Because we literally, before the show started, what did me and you start talking about? First thing first. I was talking to you about decompressing after work, right? And that's a big thing right there. Quiet your mind. Yep. Decompress. Yep. Get out of the world. Get off the screens. Yep. And just go in your garden. Yep. Smoke a joint. Just decompress from the world. That's perfect. I love that, man.
Yeah, that's really good to leave off of. I'm always a fan of, you know, putting out what you want to receive, so that positivity, you know, manifesting positivity also means putting out positivity. Excuse me. Yes. And that also just means being compassionate towards a lot of things. You know, I think one of my favorite things to do is going and hanging out with my plants or hanging out with my animals and just like petting them or just hang, you know, because it's like, it doesn't take much to give that free little bit of love, and it feels so rewarding to give it. So I really, truly love that. I think it's a wonderful way to end this episode. And as far as Instagram's concerned, you guys can check out HydroBucket or at HydroBucket on Instagram. You can also check out thehydrobucket.com. And this has been another wonderful episode talking about hydroponics and all sorts of stuff. And let us know in the comments down below if you guys want to hear more from Mitchell talking about what the company's future goals are or products they're going to be creating, or if you're as interested as I am in the future Pheno Hunt process, because I'm very intrigued by that. So without further ado, Mitchell, go ahead and say your little goodbye. If you want to have, if you have any little last minute words, go for it.
I'm just really thankful that you guys have me on. You know, this could be a 2-hour format, right? It sounds like we could just sit and talk. I mean, I love it.
Yeah, well, we're bringing you back on because I got a lot more questions.
Yeah, I mean, sitting around talking, growing with the homies, man. I mean, this is my place. Yes. So, yeah, so just thanks for having me. And you know, everybody, if they want to reach out and connect with us, we help people on an individual basis that are trying to get onto deep water culture hydroponics. Every day someone's messaging me saying, what do I do? I tell them what to do. You know, it's usually just one answer. Do this. Yeah. You know, it's like the Buddhists. You know, if you go left too far, if I was going off the road, say, you know, go right. Someone starts going too far right, say, go left. Stay in the middle, right? So, you know, just trying to help people get into deep water culture hydroponics. We got the gear for it. So, you know, just doing what we can to make it happen.
Well, awesome. Killer. Well, this has been another episode of Tuesdays with TCK, and I'm your host, Chronic, and that is Shadow, and we will be back every single week to talk about different and interesting topics when it comes to cannabis, as well as we're definitely going to be bringing a lot more guests on, such as Mitchell, and some more fun guests here in the future. And if you did enjoy this episode, like I said, hit that like button, comment down below any questions you have for Mitchell, or any just, you know, your own experiences in hydroponics. We love hearing them. And be sure to subscribe subscribe or follow along so you show our sponsors some major love and you never miss out on an episode of this podcast. Now remember, our sponsors are The Autoflower Review, Atlas Seed, Teen B Naturals, and none other than Hydro Bucket or Visionary Hydroponics. So definitely show them some major love. Go check out all their stuff, show support, and tune in every Tuesday for another episode. Much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.
Peace.